Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need, without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/EarnYourLeisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/EarnYourLeisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
You talked about the working with black brands and corporate.
Mm-hmm.
So for people that's not even in the fashion world, why is it important for black brands to work with corporate? And what's the disparities from black brands working with corporate as opposed to white brands working with corporate?
So 2009, I started to look for black designers to be a part of our second show. I couldn't really find any black designers. So naively, I said, let me go to the department stores where we shop. I'm going down the list of all the designers on the department store website. Mm-hmm. Realized that less than 1% of the designers that were on those websites were black. Then I went and said, well, how much are we spending on apparel? In 2009, we were spending $22 billion a year on apparel product. And I'm like, this is not matching up at all. Like, how do we represent less than 1% of the designers, but at the same time, we're spending all of this money on apparel? And at that point, I was like, how do I start to get more designers of color into department stores? And that was hard because for the first 10 years of HFRs, retailers and brands, they weren't the ones really rocking with us. It was like brands like Verizon was sponsoring us, or AT&T, or Pandora Jewelry, or Prudential even was partnering with us. It was really difficult for us to get retailers. And so now I'm like, the more we can partner brands up with retailers, what it does is, A, when the designer comes on board for a collaboration like the Abercrombie and Fitch one that I'm wearing, they can come in and they can just design. They get paid a rate that is fair for them. They can come in and design. They don't have to worry about doing all the things. All the infrastructure is there for them. They don't have to worry about the manufacturing of it. So it's a win-win for both the designer and also for the brand, because they get to tell this designer's story and they get to tap into our culture.
So like, what designer is that?
Which one?
The Abercrombie and Fitch.
This is Nicole Benefiel. So she was one of the designers that we showed. She was the first designer that came out of the show in September.
So Nicole Benefiel has her own company,
has her own thing. Yep.
Her own fashion line. Mm-hmm. So she works with Abercrombie. Is it just Abercrombie, or is it Abercrombie / Nicole Benefiel?
It's I wish I had my jacket. Okay. Look, I feel like showing you my tag. So on the label, it has HFR, Abercrombie and Fitch, and Nicole Benefiel.
Oh, so it's everybody
partnership on the label.
And then that helps her, explain how that helps her grow.
Yeah, so it exposes her to a whole different audience, right? So now Nicole Benefiel, so Abercrombie and Fitch is sending out marketing emails about Nicole Benefiel to all of their audience, right? Their email audience. People are also learning about her story, because they did a lot of storytelling in the marketing of it. So it opens her up, and you know, she also gets paid for that.
This feels like when we talked to Steve Stout, what he was doing with corporate and hip hop, where he was merging the two. It feels like it's a similar story here, where you're merging fashion with corporate in a sense. How do you find the emerging talent? So like, Nicole is incredible, right? But yeah. I'm sure as your brand grows, people want to be in front of you. So how do you decide and how do you identify the next emerging talent to say, all right, this is worthy to be put with a brand?
Yeah, so we have an online platform called Designers Row. So any designer can go to our website, harlemsfashionrow.com. And once they are in our database, they get invited to be a part of Designers Row. So really, it's very organic. I have a team. My team is always scouting new talent. So Nicole Benefiel came to me through, you know, someone who I knew who was like, hey, you should check out this designer. I'm always looking for who is a designer that I feel like has like a new perspective, like somebody who's bringing something new and interesting and has like a very clear aesthetic of like what they have to contribute to this industry. And then what I also loved about her in particular was that her vision for where she was going was so clear. When you look at her aesthetic from like, we showed her collection last year too, 2022. So when you look at her collection from 2022 to 2023, it looks like it's just an evolution. It wasn't like one person here and then a whole different kind of ball game on this side. Her vision is really clear. Her aesthetic, I think, is something that the industry needs. She is just a dope human, because we only work with dope humans. With good character.
So a prerequisite.
right. And so we knew when Abercrombie came to us and was like, hey, we want to do a collab with HFR, like we either sometimes we'll give a brand like 3 or 4 options. That's what we did with Nike and LeBron. Actually, we gave them 3 options and they were like, we can't choose, so we're going to choose all 3. Mm-hmm. With Abercrombie, we were like, here's the option. She's the one. And they were like, we trust you.
How is social media? You said you started in 2009 with that vision. At this time, Facebook is prominent, but Instagram isn't yet.
There's no social media. Thank God there was no social media.
How has that changed, I guess, the work that you're doing, right? Because I feel like everybody now has a lookbook on Instagram.
It definitely changes. Like, I'm able to see designers. I'm able to literally go to a designer's Instagram page and, like, walk into their world, like, quickly. And I can tell so much just by scrolling up.
Okay, so what is the problem? Why is there not a lot of Black designers? What's stopping Black designers from becoming mainstream or penetrating that market? Less than, you said, 1% of the money from Black people go to Black designers.
Yeah, when you think about the designers who have made it.
And is that correct? You said 1%?
Less than 1%. It's maybe 3% now.
Of the money that Black people spend. On clothes?
No, less than 1% of the designers sold on major department stores' websites.
Okay. Do you know how much percent Black people spend on?
On apparel?
On like black designers.
So here's interesting. I don't know how much they spend on black designers, but McKinsey released a study. So by the year 2030, we're going to spend, black people are going to spend $70 billion a year on apparel. The other thing that was interesting about that study is that black people are three times more likely to switch brands if it's a black founder or black created brand. That just really happened, I think, after 2020. I feel like after 2020, we all were like, if we're gonna make it, we gotta take care of ourselves. Mm. And so with that, though, that's a huge, I think, opportunity for brands. It's a huge opportunity for an investor who wants to really invest in black brands as well, because consumers are now ready to shop the black brands. But the challenge is we don't have the infrastructure. So imagine if we had like an LVMH, like a holding company, an LVMH or a Kering or a Tapestry or, you know, an Authentic Groups type brand or something like that, that was a holding company that provided all of the infrastructure for black designers. Like, think about that, mm-hmm. right? And they provided all the operations, the manufacturing partnerships. That's what we've been missing. Like, if we had that, the opportunity for black brands and where they could go is really limitless. What we've been missing really is the funding, the infrastructure, the operational capacity, the manufacturing. Kind of, you address those things, like, there's no limit to how far we can go. And it's kind of crazy that no one has really seen that as an opportunity.
Well, I think Kanye spoke about that. That's when he was, I want to go back to that, but before, let's talk about this then. When Ye was like, he didn't have the infrastructure, mm-hmm. pretty much paraphrasing. And that's when Sway, that legendary conversation with him and Sway. That's what you're referring to? Because LVMH, everybody hears about LVMH. What exactly does LVMH? What do they do? We know that they own all of these luxury brands, mm-hmm. but you said a holding company provides infrastructure. So what exactly does LVMH do for all of these brands that they have ownership in?
They provide the revenue for those brands. That's a big piece of it, which then allows them to be able to do proper marketing. It also allows them to tap into LVMH's infrastructure. So what is that? Like accounting, manufacturing support, operational support. Like, those are the things that a lot of times smaller brands are struggling with. Cash flow, you know, which is a problem for all small businesses. You don't have to imagine if you could just go create and do the things that you actually love in a business without having to worry about all of the business operations of what it takes. Because that's what takes small businesses out. It's the cash flow. It's the, you know, the accounting piece.
So was Ye correct in his assessment?
But I feel like Ye also could have addressed that. Yeah, absolutely.
So, in a sense, because even absolutely. For LVMH, they have a bunch of companies, but there's really like probably five or six that account for most of the revenue.
Absolutely. I mean, Louis Vuitton is like their number one
brand. Number one by far.
Yes.
Right? And then there's like 40 other brands, but they don't generate as much, not even close. Right. And so it can offset some things as far as infrastructure. From what I'm hearing, it sounds like, let's just use Harlem Fashion Row as the holding company for black brands in mm-hmm. a sense where Telfar can exist under there, Nicole Benefit, they could all exist under there, and then we can grow together. I feel like what we've seen, especially from our designers, is very individualistic.
Right.
It's like, I mean, we can use Sean Junk by itself, Fubu by itself, but there's not one piece that holds it all together to say, let's build so we can have an LVMH type situation.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, if you look at the fact that Tapestry just bought Capri Holdings,
right?
That's going to make it one of the largest, you know, fashion conglomerates in the U.S. if it hasn't already done that. So if we had that, even if we started with three brands, it would be building upon something that could be like a legacy, like a huge legacy brand. I just see there's a lot of opportunity there because consumers are ready to shop black brands. Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.